You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Yesterday, Governor Brad Little gave his annual State of the State address at the Idaho Capitol. The Republican laid out his vision for the new year in a 40-minute speech. However, now we will see what Republican and Democratic lawmakers do with his proposals as we head into this legislative session. Our James Dawson covers the State House for us, and he is live in studio to help us break down the speech and the response to it. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, of course, Gemma.
Okay, so let's start with the headlines. What were, do you think, the big takeaways from Governor Little's speech?
I mean, you have no cuts to K through 12 education and much more money dedicated to it. And the reason why that's kind of noteworthy is because taking into account this year's 1% cut to state agencies and a proposed 2% cut next year, he's cutting about $57 million in this base budget. So every other state agency pretty much is seeing some kind of rollback, unless we're talking about, you know, Medicaid stuff where you have more people signing up or more prisoners going into the state population there. Let's see, you've got, and more kids going into school as mm-hmm. well. Total, it's about a 3.7% increase, more than $4 billion total. Those are kind of the takeaways.
Okay, so let's go back to this K-12 education, because as you mentioned, no budget cuts there, but how does the governor want to boost spending in that area?
Yeah, so, I mean, you have $30 million that he's proposing to raise veteran teacher pay. He set aside $7.7 million to raise starting teacher pay up to $40,000. This is something that's been talked about since last year anyway. You have $3.2 million for a literacy campaign, which has been kind of one of the hallmarks of his platform since he's been elected governor. You have millions more for scholarships. You've got him dedicating money to new career technical centers in Lewiston and Idaho Falls. And it's really kind of this ethos that he's kind of cultivated over the, well, roughly year that he's been governor. And here's why he thinks that.
I subscribe to the view that it's better to prepare children today than to repair them later.
I thought that was a really interesting way to put it, is prepare them today.
Right.
You know, versus having to do all of this work on the back end.
Well, yeah, and you're not just talking about education. I mean, we're going to get into Department of Corrections. We're going to get talking about health and welfare, things like that. And, you know, you see study after study these days talking about how taking this kind of holistic view in education can have ripple effects in all of these other areas.
So let's talk about the rest of the budget. Why is the governor taking, I mean, frankly, a much more conservative approach to the rest of the entire budget?
Yeah, I would say that he and his budget officials are concerned that, you know, Idaho's rainy day fund, even though it's one of the best funded in the country, honestly, you know, they're worried that it's not enough. Right now, Idaho has about, I think it's 17% of what it would take to fund the state budget in reserves. That's counting the current carryover from last year. The rainy day fund itself is about 10%. So, you know, they want to get that up to about 18 to 23%, which is the number they were told by this national analytic firm, Moody's Analytics, which is fairly well respected. They want to save another $100 million this year, which gets them close to that goal. But you also have some people, you know, being critical about mm-hmm. this. For example, House Minority Leader Alana Rubel.
We are concerned about the record that we have of past perhaps reckless tax cuts that redounded to the benefit of the wealthy and not to working Idahoans and have left us now in the state where we are facing pretty severe agency cuts.
Yeah, but the thing is, at least from when I talked to Alex Adams, who's the basically chief budget guy at the state, he said that the governor's, you know, maybe not trigger shy, but he really doesn't want to get back to where we were at the, you know, height of the Great Recession when he had to let state agencies know, hey, you have 48 hours to come up with significant budget cuts.
If we didn't do it this year, we might have had to do it later on, and bad news does not get good with time. We addressed it right from the get-go.
We're talking with Boise State Public Radio reporter James Dawson. He covered yesterday's State of the State address by Governor Brad Little, and we're kind of delving into a little bit deeper in that. So, Jimmy, you mentioned corrections and prison reform, and the governor did talk about that. This is an area that actually saw significant growth. So what's happening here? And again, how does the governor propose to tackle this?
Yeah, I mean, I think you and I have talked about this many times on this show. You've had guests in talking about it as well. It should be no surprise that, you know, there's big overcrowding in Idaho's prison system. Both we're talking about at the prisons, you know, across the state, as well as sending inmates to county jails and even out of state. You know, right now you actually have 651, as of yesterday, inmates in a private prison facility in Eagle Pass, Texas. So this budget, what it looks like, you've got another $30 million going to it in this proposal to the Department of Correction, which is a 12.1% increase. So Little says they need to clear up bed space, you know, in order to really bring these out-of-state prisoners home. But in order to do that, he's also proposing nearly doubling the amount of people who they want to send out of prison, whether it's to Texas or elsewhere, right? Meanwhile, simultaneously, he's also investing millions of dollars in reentry and intervention programs to help cut recidivism and even prevent people from getting to prison in the first place. Right now, you have 62%. This is a kind of shocking figure that we learned yesterday. 62% of people who are in Idaho prisons are there because of parole or probation violations.
That was shocking.
Yeah, which is number one in the country, is what they told us.
Well, and then I wonder how much that will play into this next legislative session, because as we know, Minority Leader Ilana Rubel has wanted to look into that and to make changes with that.
She has. And I think you've seen, you know, at least a softening from Republican legislative leaders being like, okay, yeah, we kind of see the picture here. At least, you know, there was a press conference last Friday where you had House Speaker Scott Bedke saying, quote, I think we need to bite the bullet on sentencing reform, which is something, you know, Ilana Rubel's been pushing in a bipartisan way. She actually was very happy to hear this part of the governor's State of the State speech.
After years of work on criminal justice reform, I was very excited to hear the governor flag some proposals along those lines, and that he is taking concrete steps to reduce recidivism and address that we are the highest state in that regard in terms of recidivism levels.
Yeah, and you know, if you talk to Governor Brad Little, he's kind of making the fiscal case for this. He's like, hey man, you know, if we don't take whatever steps we can right now, we're going to end up, you know, the total is going to be so much more astronomical than it is right now.
We have a choice. We can either invest in measures designed to reduce the demand for prison beds and promote safer communities, or we can do nothing and ensure the next check we write is larger than the last.
And even with that comment, I mean, it's still a 12% increase.
Yeah.
I mean, that's significant.
It is. Oh, yeah. And if you talk to the governor, he'll say, look, this is obviously not going to get fixed overnight. We're talking about a multi-year system, you know, where you continually have to make these investments in order to see any kind of return on it.
So Medicaid, we've got to talk about that, because this has been such a bone of contention. And this will be the first full year that lawmakers will have to pay for this expansion. So how does the governor propose to budget for this?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about roughly $41 million for the state share of this. Again, it's a 90-10 match. So state pays 10%, federal government picks up the other 90%. And he's proposing a really net zero general fund way to pay for it. That's just really fancy language to say, like, look, we've got other funds. We can do this through savings, which is actually where most of this $41 million comes from. Then you have, you know, a few million dollars from the Millennial Fund, which is tobacco settlement money, usually goes to pave towards things like anti-smoking campaigns, stuff like that, which will still be funded, is what they intend anyway. But that's a separate committee in the legislature that oversees that. And then you have $8.5 million from the counties that, you know, they should see some kind of savings through the implementation of Medicaid. Right now, they pay up to, you know, roughly $11,000 of medical bills for people who just can't pay. They're either uninsured, underinsured, and they're low income.
And then, according to Republican lawmakers, property taxes. And they felt like the governor really didn't talk enough about this.
Yeah, I would say so. I think we have House Speaker Scott Bedke talking about that, too.
It was a little light, arguably, on property taxes and the response, what the state could do policy-wise that would maybe give some property tax relief.
Yeah, and this seems to really be one of their number one priorities going into this session. If you live in the Treasure Valley, even elsewhere across the state, really.
But we're seeing it everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you see just year over year, almost double-digit increases in people's property valuations, whether or not that translates to, you know, actual tax increases or significant tax increases depends on where you live. But you hear older people on fixed incomes saying, like, I've lived in my house, I've had it paid off forever.
But I have to sell it now.
Have to sell it. Right, exactly. And so you have a few different ways that people are trying to solve this problem. Some of the more conservative lawmakers who have been outspoken recently have said, you know, we need to implement some kind of law to control how cities can budget their money. Mm-hmm. They feel like it's the city's budget growth and the growth itself is the problem. Because they're spending too much, right? Some might call that a little more draconian. I know that the governor said he didn't refer to any specific solution that was being proposed, but he said, I don't embrace some of the more draconian measures. Mm-hmm. But he thinks that, you know, loosening some money up in other areas of the budget could go toward property tax relief, especially by paying teachers more. Because, right, depending on which school district you live in, you have all of these supplemental levies coming through. Some might say because the state doesn't fund education enough. That's one argument. But that could potentially release some kind of valve that would lower the pressure on homeowners.
Before I let you go, this is your second year covering the Idaho Legislature for Boise State Public Radio News. What will our listeners be able to expect from you this session? I mean, because we never see you because you literally live at the Capitol building.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, they can expect to hear reports pretty much every day from me, as well as more in-depth stuff here and then when I get the chance in between all of those committee hearings. Right.
I want to thank you for coming in today. We've been talking with Boise State Public Radio News reporter James Dawson. You can follow his legislative coverage at boisestatepublicradio.org. And of course, Jimmy will make an appearance once in a while on Idaho Matters as well. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Gemma.
Up next, we're going to look at a controversial development in the Eagle Foothills. I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters.